Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Whole Earth Discipline, an Eco-Pragmatist Manifesto, is a nonfiction environmental book by Stuart Brand that argues for a major revision of conventional green thinking. Published in 2009, it reflects Brand's long background in ecology, counterculture publishing, and futurist thought, but it is not a manifesto of anti-environmentalism. Instead, it makes the case that climate change, urbanization, and biotechnology have changed the scale of environmental problems so much that older assumptions are no longer enough. Brand calls this approach eco-pragmatism, using science, engineering, and policy tools without ideological hesitation. The book is best understood as a provocative policy argument about how humans should manage a crowded, warming, technologically changing planet. It is especially concerned with the practical trade-offs behind dense cities, nuclear power, genetically engineered crops, restored ecosystems, and geoengineering research. Rather than offering a single solution, it challenges readers to accept that sustainability now requires intervention, experimentation, and a willingness to revisit previously taboo ideas. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, ecopragmatism replaces green orthodoxy with problem solving. The book's central idea is that environmentalism should stop treating its inherited beliefs as untouchable and instead judge technologies by outcomes. Brand argues that climate change, urban growth, and biotechnology have created conditions that reward flexible thinking rather than moral purity. This is why he describes his position as eco-pragmatist. He wants environmental policy to be guided by empirical results, engineering judgment, and institutional scale. The point is not that all technology is good, but that refusing useful tools because they feel unnatural can become its own form of environmentalism by inertia. Brand repeatedly pushes against the idea that protecting nature means minimizing human intervention everywhere. In his framework, modern societies already intervene massively, so the real question is whether they do so intelligently. That makes the book less a celebration of technology than a critique of ideological rigidity. Readers are asked to evaluate environmental claims by measurable consequences such as carbon emissions, land use, crop productivity, and system resilience, rather than by cultural comfort. Secondly, dense cities as an environmental strategy, not a problem. One of the book's most controversial claims is that cities are greener than dispersed settlement patterns. Brand argues that dense urban life can reduce per capita resource use because infrastructure, transit, housing, and services are concentrated more efficiently than in low-density sprawl. This changes the usual environmental framing, which often treats cities as sources of pollution and countryside as inherently cleaner. Brand reverses that assumption by focusing on land consumption, transportation energy, and the ecological cost of spreading human activity over more territory. In this view, urbanization is not simply an inevitable social trend, but a potentially beneficial environmental force if managed well. Compact cities can preserve wild land by reducing pressure to expand outward, and they can make public systems such as electricity, transit, and water delivery more efficient. The argument is practical rather than romantic. If the goal is lower emissions and less habitat loss, then dense settlement may outperform scattered living arrangements. Brand's larger point is that environmental policy should support the forms of human habitation that minimize total planetary impact. Thirdly, why Brand treats nuclear power as a climate tool? Brand's defense of nuclear energy is one of the book's most forceful departures from mainstream green activism. He presents nuclear power as a necessary option for replacing fossil fuels at scale, especially if the goal is to cut carbon quickly while maintaining reliable electricity. The argument depends on energy density, industrial capacity, and the difficulty of powering modern societies with intermittent sources alone. Brand does not present nuclear as a perfect technology or dismiss its risks. Instead, he treats it as a comparatively low carbon system that deserves serious use in a climate-constrained world. This fits the book's broader pattern: environmental goals should determine which tools are acceptable, not the other way around. Nuclear power also matters because urbanization, electrification, and industrial civilization demand stable grid energy. If fossil fuels remain the default backup, emissions stay high. By placing nuclear in the center of the discussion, Brand challenges readers to see energy policy as a physical systems problem rather than a symbolic debate. His position is that avoiding nuclear out of habit may make climate mitigation harder, not easier. Fourthly, genetic engineering and the future of agriculture and land use. Another major theme is that genetic engineering should be seen as a legitimate environmental technology rather than a threat by definition. Brand argues that transgenic crops can support a new green revolution by improving yields, reducing losses, and making agriculture more adaptable to pests, weeds, and changing conditions. This matters because land use is one of the largest environmental pressures on the planet. If farming can produce more food on less land, then more habitat can remain intact or be restored. The book therefore links biotechnology to conservation, not just productivity. Brand's reasoning is that opposition to genetic engineering often overlooks the ecological costs of current agricultural losses and the benefits of improved crop management. He frames biotechnology as a tool for reducing chemical dependence, increasing resilience, and helping farmers cope with large-scale ecological change. The broader implication is that protecting ecosystems may require more advanced human intervention in food systems, not less. This section of the book is especially important because it connects science, agriculture, and land conservation in a way that challenges both anti-GMO activism and simplistic notions of natural food production. Lastly, geoengineering and restored wildlands as forms of planet craft. Brand treats geoengineering as a serious topic for research because he believes mitigation alone may not be enough to manage climate change. He does not present it as a simple fix, but as a set of large-scale interventions that may eventually need careful study if warming becomes more dangerous than current strategies can handle. This is one of the book's most provocative positions because it extends environmental management from protecting local ecosystems to influencing the planetary climate system. At the same time, the book also emphasizes restoration of wildlands and natural infrastructure, showing that intervention is not limited to high technology. Brand wants humans to become better stewards of complex systems, whether by repairing degraded landscapes or by studying climate-scale tools. The conclusion that humans must learn planetcraft captures this logic. Earth is already being shaped by human action, so the task is to shape it more wisely. This idea combines humility and ambition. Humility, because the systems are too complex for careless manipulation. Ambition, because refusing to act is also a choice with consequences. The chapter range reflects a consistent view that responsible management requires both restraint and readiness to intervene. In conclusion, Whole Earth Discipline will be most valuable to readers who want an intellectually serious challenge to familiar environmental assumptions. It is especially relevant for policymakers, urban planners, climate thinkers, energy analysts, agricultural technologists, and environmentalists willing to reconsider long-held taboos. The book's practical value lies in its insistence that environmental questions should be judged by effects on carbon, land use, energy systems, and resilience rather than by ideology. Even readers who disagree with Brand's conclusions can benefit from the way he forces clear thinking about trade-offs and scale. What makes the book stand out in the environmental literature is its combination of ecological concern and institutional realism. Many books in this genre focus on caution, restoration, or consumer behavior. Brand focuses on systems that can actually alter global outcomes, including cities, nuclear power, biotechnology, and possible geoengineering. That makes the book unusual, sometimes unsettling, and often memorable. Its lasting importance is less in offering a final answer than in expanding the range of arguments that serious environmental discussion must include. If you would like to support Stuart Brand, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.